Good morning. I'm Armand. I'm married to Melissa. She's sitting in front here, my beautiful wife. I've got two kids running around here somewhere. I'm speaking today on hearing God's voice, but a very practical version of the preach, hearing God's voice. I think besides the day that you give your life to Jesus and you become a true Christian, the most valuable treasure that we have as believers is the ability to hear and discern God's voice for ourselves. I remember when I was a very young Christian, I was walking in a mall one day, and as I was walking, I had this thought, and the thoughts went something like this. It said, I want you to go to Joshua Generation. And that thought stood out to me because I was not aware of what Joshua Generation was, apart from an Afrikaans song that was written years before that about a Joshua Generation. So I started asking around, and I found out that there's a church called Joshua Generation Church in Sunningdale. Back then, it was still a very small church, and I visited, and later on, I joined the church. But that was one of my very early memories of hearing God's voice after I gave my life to Him. Today, I trust the Holy Spirit will remove earplugs of bad teaching. I trust that the Holy Spirit will soften hearts, and I trust the Lord will bring us to a place of obedience in Him. Amen? So there are some beliefs that stops Christians in their tracks when it comes to hearing God's voice. Right from the get-go, there's some beliefs that some Christians have that stop them from hearing the voice of the Lord. I'm just going to touch on a few here. I'm not going to go into them right now, but I'm just going to highlight four. And this is not a complete list, obviously, but I'm just going to highlight four. The first is false teaching. It's the belief that you cannot hear God because God stopped speaking when the New Testament was written. That's the first one. The second one is practical disappointment. Maybe you ask the Lord, Lord, I want to hear your voice. Maybe you fasted for a couple of days, you prayed, and you heard nothing. So that's practical disappointment that kicked in. The third one is fear of hearing God incorrectly. The fear of hearing incorrectly is stronger than the desire to hear God's voice. Then the fourth one I want to highlight is perceived unworthiness. You believe that hearing God's voice is for the premium Christians. Basic Christianity is, oh, I gave my life to the Lord, I'm going to heaven, hallelujah. But hearing God's voice is actually for the premium Christians, the prophets and the leaders, not for me, that's a basic Christian. So I just want to go directly into scripture, and it's from 1 Samuel 3. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place, wherever that might be. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. Now, if you know the Old Testament, the lamp of God was never supposed to go out. So it says here, the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Do you know what that is? The Ark of the Covenant was located in the Holies of Holies. So Samuel was lying basically in the Holy of Holies. That was his sleeping place. And then the Ark of God is the physical presence, the tangible presence of the Lord. So basically, that's where the Holy Spirit lived. It was in the Ark of the Covenant. So his sleeping place was right next to the Ark of the Covenant in the Holies of Holies. That's important to know. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, here I am. He ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I didn't call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lied down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized, only then, that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. If he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lied down again. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." So last week, Neil spoke about having friendship with God. And I want to submit this to you. Part of knowing God is to know His voice. I want to say that again. Part of knowing who God is to know His voice. You cannot have a friendship, as we saw in that example earlier, if there's no communication or just one-sided communication. That is called talking to yourself. That's what crazy people do. In John 10, Jesus makes it clear. It says, "My sheep hear my voice." And this scripture came up in the last 2 weeks of Sunday services. So it's almost like God is highlighting that scripture in this year. It says, "My sheep hear my voice." He didn't say, "Just the elite Christians hear my voice. Just the pastors will hear my voice. Just the apostles will hear my voice. But my sheep hears my voice." Jesus is making a truth statement there. He's saying, if you belong to me, if you are called a Christian, you belong to me, you will hear my voice. That's the truth statement. To say God stopped speaking when the New Testament was written is also a lie. It's a false teaching. Because the Bible says in Hebrews, the Spirit says, not the Spirit said. If you watch the language in the New Testament. The Bible might be written and completed, but the Spirit still speaks today. In Matthew 4:4, Jesus is speaking here. And he says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Proceeds. The dictionary, I looked it up, it says, an action happening now, moving forward, or continuing. It's an ongoing thing. The Spirit continues to speak. And Jesus said, if you are my sheep, you can hear my voice. Your spiritual growth is dependent on hearing God's voice. Your spiritual growth is dependent on hearing God's voice. Otherwise, you will just stay at one place. A.W. Tozer said, it's in the nature of God to speak. And God has got a history of speaking. First, He spoke creation into being. Then He spoke to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Then they sinned. Then their spirits died that day because they sinned. And the thing that connected them to God was cut off. They were chased out of the garden, but God still chose to speak. He spoke selectively to certain people through history until Jesus came and died on a cross. But before that, years before that, there was a prophet called Joel that prophesied. And in a nutshell, I'm not going to read the whole passage, but in a nutshell, he says, there'll be a Messiah that comes that will basically die for the world's sin. And afterwards, it said, and afterwards, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old man will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. God is not making an exception there. He's saying all men, all flesh, if you accept Jesus in your life, you become a born-again Christian, the Spirit will be poured out on you too, and you can hear the Holy Spirit. So if we believe God still speaks today, why do we still struggle to hear Him? There might be a few reasons why we struggle to hear the voice of the Lord. The first I want to address is a hardened heart. In Matthew 13:15, Jesus describes to His disciples why He's talking in parables to the people. And this is what He's saying. He's saying this: for the hearts of these people have grown dull. Some other translations say their heart has grown calloused. Their ears are hard of hearing. So He's making a connection with the heart condition. If your heart condition is wrong, your hearing, you become hard of hearing because your heart is calloused. I want to use the example of someone that learns to play guitar, and there's a couple of guitar players in here. When you start learning to play the guitar, the fingers that you use to push the notes, they become extremely sore when you push that strings, extremely. And if you push through that pain and you practice every day, calloused will start to form on your fingertips where you push the threads. And as soon as those calloused have formed, it's not sore anymore. You can play without any pain. In the same way, if we continue to do the things that God disapproves of, our hearts can become calloused and we struggle to hear what He's saying because of that. The second thing that can block the voice of the Lord once you believe that God can actually speak is disobedience. If you want to continue hearing the voice of the Lord, you have to do the last thing He's asked of you. It seems like people that obey God's voice hear God more often. It's almost like when you obey God's voice, it magnifies His voice. And the other thing I want to point out with disobedience is Adam heard the voice of the Lord in the Garden of Eden, but he chose to obey the voice of a serpent. It's not hearing the voice of God that changes your life. It's obeying the voice of God that transforms your life. That's a very important distinction to make. It's obeying the word of the Lord, obeying His voice, that will transform your life from the inside out. The third thing that might block the hearing, you hearing God's voice, is trying to hear God with a made-up mind. If you come to God, but you've already made up your mind, I don't know what the situation is. You decided to marry someone. You decided to travel on a mission trip somewhere. You decided to buy a house. You, whatever the situation is. But you've already made up your mind, I'm going to do this. That is not fair towards God. And that's a very dangerous place to be. Because in your heart, what you've done is you've made yourself equal with God. And you're saying, hey God, I've decided this. Please give your stamp of approval on this. And you want to call the shots now. That's a very dangerous place to be. You've gone from, I want to hear from God, to I want to lead God. And that's what makes it dangerous. Christian faith is Jesus is Lord, and I submit under His authority. That means when I say, Jesus, speak. Your servant is listening. It means I am his servant. I am his subject. I submit to his plans. That means whatever my plans are, I will change to fit in Jesus' plans. That's what it means. So how do we hear God's voice? After we sort out all those blockages, we can actually hear God's voice. It's not normal Christianity to not hear God's voice. I just want to say that again. It's not normal Christianity if you do not hear the voice of God. It's not normal Christianity. It comes natural. When a baby is born, one of the first things they do is they test that baby's hearing. The doctors didn't create the baby's hearing. They're just testing it. In the same way, when we become born again, hearing comes natural. It's discerning that doesn't. Discernment comes with training. But if you want to hear God, you have to get near to him. You have to get near to him. Hearing from God is like Wi-Fi. First, you have to get connected. Then you have to stay close to the router. As soon as you move away from that router far enough, the connection is gone. So in the same way, we have to connect our hearts first. We need to become born again. Give our lives. Have you made Jesus your Lord and Savior first? Get connected and then stay close to the Holy Spirit. That's how it works. It's as simple as that. I wanted to make it simple today. Hopefully it's simple. The Lord wants to speak to you. The Holy Spirit wants to speak to you. He wants you to guide your life. The problem isn't your status. It's the signal. I want to say, it's not about how long you've been in the church. It's not about how good you are in the church. It's not about your status in the church. Are you the pastor? Are you a leader? Are you whatever in the church? It's not about what Bible school you went to. It's not about from which family do you come from. God looks at, are you connected? And are you staying close to the Holy Spirit? It's as simple as that. If you can remember that, you will do well. I want to say if you stay close to the Holy Spirit like Samuel did, you will hear God like Samuel did. And I don't want you to focus on hearing God's voice. Rather focus on staying near to God, staying near to the Holy Spirit. Because if you do that, His voice will come natural and you will learn to discern this is the voice of the Lord. So I can't teach you how to hear God's voice because it comes natural when you're born again. However, I can teach you how to discern God's voice. That's the thing we need to focus on. A lot of people don't hear God's voice because it sounds familiar. And because it sounds familiar, they discard it as their own thoughts. But I want to say sometimes the Holy Spirit sounds like your thoughts. So you discard it as your thoughts. Samuel heard the voice of God and thought it was Eli. But it was actually the voice of the Lord. Then later on in the book of Samuel, he met this guy called Eliab. And he thought, surely, this is God's anointed. So he got confused. First, he got confused with God's voice. Then he thought his thoughts were God's words to him. So even him needed to learn to discern the voice of the Lord. So the common confusion when we hear God's voice, whether it's 100% through reading the Bible or if it's through an impression that God makes or if it's through a vision or if it's through a dream or if it's through a thought-like voice that sounds like your thoughts. We need to discern whether that voice we are getting, whether it's a dream or a scripture or whatever, is the voice of the Lord. That's what we need to discern. So there are three different voices that we need to discern in our lives. The first is the voice of the Lord. The first is the voice of the Lord. And the characteristics of God's voice is always the same. Sometimes it sounds like thoughts. It's quiet but persistent. It's peaceful yet clear. It's got a sharpness to it. It's sometimes convicting. It brings conviction, but without condemnation. And even if God brings conviction, it feels hopeful. It feels like, yes, I want to do this, Lord. I want to change my life. Help me, Lord. That's what it feels like when the Lord speaks. You get hope from His voice. Then the second voice is your thoughts. They are tied to your fleshly desires. They are typically driven by our emotions. So they're not consistent at all. It's a bit like a roller coaster, up and down. That's our thoughts. Our thoughts is strongly connected to logic and intellect. It often sounds godly, but when you start to measure it and weigh it up against Scripture, the Word of God, you see it lacks spiritual weight or depth. And the last thing, your thoughts will typically push you to premature decisions, or on the other hand, indecision. That's the characteristics of your thoughts. Then we've got the third and last voice is the demonic voice. Now, if you're hearing demonic voices, it does not mean you're demonized or demonically oppressed. Even Satan came to Jesus in the wilderness and tempted him. This is his characteristics. It's very subtle. It carries a presence of doubt, fear, shame, accusation. It subtly twists Scripture, very subtly. I want to tell you a story about that. I've also encountered demonic voices. A few years ago, I was already working for the church. We were in a bit of a financial crisis at that moment, and I was taking a break at work at the church, and as I was walking down to the kitchen, I had this thought, and I thought it was the Lord. He said, "Armand, for a season, you don't have to tithe. Do you know why? Because you're part of the priesthood. You work for the church." And back in the day, in Scripture, the priest didn't have to tithe. So I'm going to give you a break from tithing, just to give you, I love you, my son. I want to give you this break. You don't have to tithe, because the priest who works for the church, the priest didn't have a portion of the land. Their portion was the priesthood. And for months, I didn't tithe. But also, what happened inside me was, I didn't want to tell anyone. I wanted to keep it quiet until I decided to open up my Bible and do research. As soon as I started reading up, I realized even the priest tithe in the Old Testament. And that's one of the characteristics of God's voice. God will never go against His Word. His Word, what He says to us, will be consistent with the Word. That, what I heard, that I thought was the Lord's voice, was not consistent with the Scripture. It wasn't my thoughts. So that was a demonic voice. I couldn't believe that I was deceived. I couldn't believe it. I thought, I'm relatively strong theologically. I'm not going to be deceived. But I learned a lesson that, I mean, the Bible says even the elite will be deceived or can be deceived. It was a hard lesson for me. Everyone can be deceived. On the other hand, God's voice, oozes peacefulness, conviction, clarity, sharpness, consistent with Scripture. He's a safe place. His voice is safe. It doesn't matter how long you have been in a relationship with Jesus. We as a church need one another. If you are a new believer and you're still learning to discern the voice of the Lord, I want to say to you, God has placed a church on earth for you to stick close to. If you are a young believer, if you're a young lamb in the church, still learning to discern God's voice, you need to stick to the older sheep that has already learned to discern God's voice. Because you're going to be in safe hands. If you follow them as they follow Christ, you're going to be in safe hands. But you're not going to be in safe hands if you think you're going to try this on your own. You're just going to hear God's voice on your own. You're going to do your own thing. The enemy will take you out. So we as a church need to stick together. Joshin, as a core belief, I can't remember the exact words, but it's something like strength through many. And the concept is this. Josh Jen doesn't believe that the church should be led by one guy hearing from God. We believe we've got strength in numbers. We believe that every saint can hear God's voice. So if we as saints, we are a priesthood of believers. We are all priests together in this. We're part of the church. If we as saints hear God's voice individually and we bring it to the leaders, the elders can start to form a picture. There's a golden thread that starts to appear, and the direction that God wants to take us in starts to emerge very clearly because God is speaking to that person and that person and that person, and everyone is saying the same thing with a different slant to it. And so a picture emerges of where are we going as a church. So that's very important. I think this year, God is focusing a lot on the priesthood of believers, that we all part of this. So we need everyone in Josh Jen to play their part, to hear from God, to learn how to discern His voice, to go to your leaders if God shows you a picture or a scripture or a dream or a vision. Go share that with your leaders. They are still our leaders. They still need to decide where we're going. But they can't build the puzzles if the puzzle pieces are missing. And we hold the puzzle pieces. Every single one of us holds a puzzle piece that will form the picture. See why it's so important for God to speak to us. One man can be deceived very easily. Very easily. And then if that man is deceived, he can take the whole bunch of us with him if we don't hear from God. But we've got strength in many. We all can hear from God. We all bring our words and our pictures and our dreams to the leaders. And we all go where Jesus wants to take us. Amen.